God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word, and we praise him for his mercy, for his faithfulness, and for his love. You know, we've been in the book of Acts, and I believe it's a helpful study in that as each and every day we meditate on the word, we think, we reflect, one of the things that you realize is that you get much more. Much more, not even by, you know, by covering so much, but by just going back to the same place, just going back to the same place. And one of the things that God helps us is when we think on his word, he opens up to us to new understanding, to new things that we had not seen, and even to new messages, because this is actually what we call meditation, meditating on the word of God. And one of the things that we say the difference between New Age or, you know, Eastern meditation is that for them, they empty their minds and, you know, they make incantations, they do positions, and they want to be filled by, you know, by either spirit, or they want to attain a higher conscience or something like that. But you see, the meditation that is given off scriptures that believers should do is to meditate on the word of God. And that means that you sit on a scripture, you think about it, you speak it with your mouth, you think it in your thoughts, you start to just dwell on it, and as you sit on it, until it comes alive. And one of the things that God helps us to do is just to go back to the same place. Just go back to the same place. And you see, as I was just thinking about, you know, what we read yesterday about, you know, the jailer and how the Paul and Silas were in prison, and you know, they were in prison in the place of their assignment. You know, remember they had wanted to go to Asia. They had wanted to go to Bithynia, to Phrygia, and the Spirit of Jesus refused them, forbade them. The Holy Spirit refused them from going. But then they have this vision. Paul has this dream in the night where he sees a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And we were able to say that this is the cry of unbelievers. They are lost in sin. In fact, many that are demon possessed, many that are trapped in alcoholism, they're really trying to get out. And all they can shout is, please come over and help us. If we are to hear the inner cry of the child that is trapped within, of the souls that are trapped, we can actually know that many people are actually in bondage, not by choice. It's not because they really want to, you know, to stay in bondage of, you know, of some of these issues, but it is actually they don't have any power of their own until you come and speak a word of deliverance to them. And so that is the place of believers, to come to the places that God has prepared, to come to the people that God has prepared. And as you can see in the Macedonian church, they, or in the place of Macedonia, they were crying out in the spirit for rescue. And you see, when he comes, Paul is able to start a ministry among the Macedonian churches. And we say there are three churches, main churches in Macedonia. There's Philippi, there's Thessalonica, or these are the cities, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And you see, when Paul boasts to the Corinthian church about the grace of God that was in the Macedonian churches, he's speaking of these three churches. He's speaking of the Philippians, he's speaking of the Thessalonians, and he's speaking of the Bereans. And we see the characteristics of them, that even as we look at these three churches where he is covering in his second missionary journey, then we are able to see what is it that made them different and what is it that stood out. And I pray that even step by step, as we continue looking at the scriptures, we'll be able to be blessed by it. Now, God has taken them. Immediately they go to Philippi, and as he goes to the coast, he, you know, to the ocean, to where people were praying by the ocean, by the beach, then he finds a woman who was a dealer in purple cloth, Thyatira, Lydia from Thyatira. She was a rich woman, and the Bible says that she was a worshiper of God, and God opens her heart to hear the gospel. Now, when she believes and she is baptized, she says, if you count me to be a believer, come and stay with me. So God provides for a home or a place where Paul and Silas and can do missions, and his team, Timothy, and also Luke is part of this team. So they stay in this house. But you see, as they were there, then one day this servant girl who has the spirit of divination keeps following Paul and saying, these are servants of God, they're showing us the way of salvation. And eventually Paul casts out the demon. And when that spirit is cast out, then her masters cause trouble for Paul. Paul is arrested and Silas is thrown. They're beaten by the magistrates. Their clothes are torn. They're beaten with rods. And then they're thrown in prison. And the Bible tells us that at midnight, they were praying and praising God and giving thanks. When the earth was shaken, there was an earthquake. And then the angel came and the prison, you know, the doors were open. Their chains fell off and they were set free. And then the jailer comes. And today I really want to focus on this jailer and just to show us a different side of prison ministry. You know, often when we think of prison ministry, and prison ministry ideally is ministry that we do to those who are locked up in prison. And one of the things that you will learn is that God actually commands us to be visiting those who are in prison. To remember, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, okay, maybe verse 3, it says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. So the Bible exhorts us to remember those who are in prison. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. And one of the persons who used to be in prison, who, you know, went through prison here and there, was actually Paul. And you can think of how even when he is in prison, when he is writing to the Philippians, he thanks them that they sent for them Epaphroditus, who is their fellow worker in chains. Can you imagine? They gave someone to go and live with Paul in prison so that when he is in prison, he can help him in writing the messages that he was writing, the letters, but also beyond that, that he can help him in his needs, in taking care of his wounds. You know, you can imagine someone is locked up and a church offers someone to go he himself and join them in prison. But one of the things that Paul says is that remember that though I am in chains, the gospel is not chained. The word of God is not chained. And we must always know that even in prisons, the word of God is not changed. There is a ministry there that we can reach out to people. And one of the questions on the final day of judgment, if you, and this you can read in Matthew 25 onwards 31 to 46, there are these questions that Jesus asks. He tells them that I was a stranger, I was hungry, did you give me food? I was thirsty. Did you give me drink? I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous answered him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did you see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these my brethren, you did to me. And now he also later on, he speaks to those who did not visit him, to those who did not provide food for him when he was hungry, water to him when he was thirsty, clothes to him when he was naked. You know, when he was sick, they did not visit him. And when they were in prison, they did not visit him. So one of the things that we see, God gives us a command that we need to remember those in prison. We need to remember those in prison. I always joke, I have two of my brothers, my friends, close brothers in ministry. And one of the things that I always see is that from time to time, I mean, they are engaged in prison ministry and evangelism, but for some time when they don't visit them for some time, I always laugh. I say that you find that they something happens where they get arrested and they find themselves, they are locked up, But even when they're locked up, God gives them an opportunity to do ministry to the prisoners. And they do ministry to the prisoners, and they find that even when they come out, when some of those prisoners are released, they follow them and come to the church where they are, because there is an impartation that God allowed them to go. And when they are in those prisons, then they are able to reach for the gospel. So even those in prison have a great ministry. There is a great ministry in prison. And one of the experiences that we have, even in Juba, back home, whenever we visit the prisons, we find that they are actually very much on fire for God. They are very much on fire. The prisoners have their own church. They have their own pastors. They have their own gospel singers. They have their own talent show. They have their own drummers. And they have, you know, they have, it's actually, at times, prison is an opportunity for actually God to encounter some people, because they, in when they were outside in the world, there was nothing they were bothered with about God. Either some were lost in, you know, in criminality, or lost in stealing, on various things. But then when they enter there, as they reflect on their lives, God has also positioned people there who will preach the gospel to them, even among the prisoners themselves, and even people who come from outside to visit them, to share with them, to share needs with them, and to share the gospel. And this is something that we always see, that God gives, reminds us that to go and visit the prisoners. But you see, even in prison, why I say there's the other side of prison, is prison ministry, is that it is not only the prisoners who need ministration. Also the jailers, also the officers, also the prison guards, God is also interested in them. And one of the things that we see is that when you actually go and do ministry, the prison guards are also listening. You know, because why? Because as they guard them, even they in a way they are also trapped, because as you can see even here, this jailer, this Roman jailer who was keeping in prison Paul and Silas, he immediately wanted to kill himself when he felt or when he thought that the prisoners had escaped, because to them they guard prisoners with their life. That means if a prisoner escapes, the jailer is also killed. So when the jailer saw that the prison doors were open, he felt that the prisoners had escaped. He drew out a sword and he wanted to kill himself. So the other side of prison ministry is actually, how do we even minister to not only the prisoners, but also to those who are keeping them in chains, to also to those who are doing that duty to just serve, you know, and to also just, you know, by law to take care of these prisoners. Now, you would have expected that God would have preserved Paul and Silas from prison. I mean, why are they in prison? Yet they are in the place where God had called them. They were sure by vision that God had directed them to go to Macedonia. As one of the things that you learn as you grow in maturity is that we are not excused from trouble. Trouble may come our way, but God always has promised to deliver us. He watches over the way of the righteous. There are troubles that may come, but when the troubles come, they have a purpose. They have an end result, and the end result is salvation of men. So whenever you find yourself maybe thrown in prison, whether it's for a good reason or for a bad reason, some people are even thrown in prison, you know, I mean, by mistake or illegally. But you see, even in that moment, there is a reason why God took you there. And so we reflect back on Acts 16, and we are still in Acts 16, and we're going to start from verse 25. The Bible says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison," and here is the jailer, "the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And yesterday I said, look at the supernatural power of God. You'd expect when chains and prison doors are open, the first thing that people will do is to run away. But the power of God is able to keep them. They knew that this was the hand of God. This is not a moment to run away, but this is a moment to understand what did just happen. What just happened? And the power of God is present. And the Bible says that, verse 28, but Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This was the heart of God. This is why God allowed Paul and Silas to be beaten, to be shamed, to be thrown in prison, such that a jailer can ask, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And verse 31 said, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And you see, for me, I see the blessing of God. And one of the things that we see about the characteristics of the people of that time, men were, they ensured that their households believed in the same faith they had. So the moment this man believes, the Bible tells us he and his family, he and his entire household were believed. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. You can imagine, maybe it was 2 a.m. because the prison doors were open. They were praising God at midnight, and then they were rescued at midnight. And then now they preach the word. Maybe it takes 30 minutes to 1 hour. He takes them to his home. He prepares a meal for them. They eat. He preaches the word to Paul and Silas, preach the word to him. He believes. And in that hour, was it 2 a.m.? Was it 3 a.m.? In that hour, the Bible says, in the same hour of the night. That means it was even between 12 and 1. That same hour of the night, the Bible says, they washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. All his family were baptized. Verse 34, now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Verse 35, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the officers, saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates, the lawyers, the judges, they have sent to let you go. Now therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly and condemned Romans and have thrown us into prison. And now do they put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. They came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Look at it. Prison is also an opportunity to speak to officers. It's also an opportunity to speak to judges. It's also an opportunity to for your accusers to know why you believe, to know that you are different, to know that you will not bribe because so that you are set free, but you will stand with the truth. And when you stand with the truth, the Lord is able to stand with you. I want to encourage us that there are reasons that why God allows certain things to come. But when he do it, let us ask for wisdom and discernment to know, why am I here? Why am I being brought before this person? Why is this case against me? What is it that God wants to achieve for his kingdom? Who is it that needs to encounter Christ? And I tell you, when we have such a perspective, I tell you, we are going to be effective witnesses. Prison both for the prisoners who had the gospel, who had Paul and Silas. They had the encounter. They were able to experience the blessing. But then also the jailer, his household were able to receive the gospel. And this church that is established, remember in the house of Lydia of Thyatira, the one who opened a home to be for Paul and Silas to stay, now they got other members who are now the jailer and his household. And this is the church that supports the ministry of Paul. And that is why he tells them, you know, he tells them that from time to time you sent help to me. And that's why Philippians 4 says that, it's not that I needed anything, but what that may be credited to your account. He says, I have learned the secret of contentment. And that contentment is not just that he's happy, but of being independent of man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he says, the God, my God of all grace, will give you, will supply to you all that you need, that you will not be lacking. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The promise of God's supply is actually to givers, is actually to those who are supporting the work. Paul remembers these people. So you have to connect Philippians, the church, to how he reached out to them, how he had to be in prison for a jailer, how he had to be in the house of Lydia of Thyatira, and in that period, then they have to leave, how they fight the slave girl, the spirit of divination. All these are linked together. They are all ingredients to the establishment of the church in Philippi. And that is a church that continues to grow and is established and later on becomes a great support to the ministry. And this is what happens as we say, come over to Macedonia and help us. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into his word and even to not forget the prisoners, to remember those in prison. And also the prisoners. My brother, you're welcome as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. This account is a great reminder that in all seasons, we don't forget our responsibility to preach the word of God. Paul and Silas, they did not see the prison around them. They did not see padlocks, the steel doors and all that as a limitation to their ability to preach the word of God. And as a result, you see that the jailer gets stunned, plus his family, serving God. And also the officers get respect and recognize the power of God. So I think it's a good reminder that certain things, no matter what happens, we should not let moments that seem to be difficult to discourage us to do what we need to do in order to bring glory to the name of our Father. But despite of the challenges, we should seize the opportunity and say, but even if you find yourself in places you would not expect to be, continue preaching the word of God. Because again, that is one of the things that we need to carry with ourselves where we go. Never know. Maybe God is sending you there. Maybe Paul and Silas went there to meet this jailer. You know, maybe that was God's way of sending the message to this jailer, this household. You see? So, yes, I think it's a good one. I was just admiring that courage and that devotion. It's uncommon, you know, that you would find someone even in jail still continuing to stand strong and preaching to God. Many would be lamenting and crying that, oh God, you have forsaken me. But that was not Paul and Silas. So I think it's a good lesson to pick from that. And we pray that God continue giving us the grace to see things beyond circumstances and situations we find ourselves. Always believe that there is a purpose to why God has led us in certain places. Yeah, I would stop here.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Discernment. We need discernment. Let us pray in faithfulness. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us in a language that we understand. And for a reminder to know that each and every place, each and every day, each and every opportunity that you give us, whether good or bad, is an opportunity to share the gospel. And indeed, you've reminded us to remember the prisoners, not only just those in prison, but also those that guard them, because they need to hear the gospel. To even the oppressors, even those killers, they need to hear the gospel. They do it out of ignorance. They have no understanding. Their souls are trapped. And Father, we plead your mercy, O God. Remember your children. Remember those that struggle with various addictions, with various prisons, O God. I pray that you set them free, O God. Indeed, you came to set the captives free. And I thank you that the anointing breaks the yoke. It breaks the yoke of the evil one. It breaks the chains of darkness. And indeed, the word of God is not chained. This morning, we remember your children. Remember those in prison. Comfort them, O God. Those that are there illegally, oh God, that Lord, you provide a way of rescue. You provide a way that they can come out, oh God. You provide a way even for those that are in prison for the gospel, oh God. May your comfort and encouragement be with them, oh God. Provide an opportunity for prisoners to hear the gospel, oh God. And I thank you for your servants, that you have placed a burden for prisons, oh God, that indeed they may be availed, that doors may be opened, that they may be able to be faithful to remember those in prison. I thank you for your word. The Lord, you have spoken to us, you've encouraged us, and you've given us strength, O God. Remember our families, remember our children, walk with them, O God, protect them, O God. May we see increase all around us in our workplaces, our work of our hands are blessed. And we thank you and we honor you. This day, go before us and keep us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead, my brother.